It's me I like. It's not the clothes I wear. It's not the way I don't have hair, but it's me I like. No, it's not true. I'm actually being facetious. It is 888-248-2046. You know, I'm just really shocked. I'm going to go back to this article. And I keep being told by our producer, you know, just the percentage of people that call is so small. I get email. I was on somebody else's show. Let me just tell you, I get email. My show, other people's show. Great stuff. Okay, great stuff. Yeah, it is good stuff. And I have been kind of told that the reason I didn't call because I was listening. You started to say something. So I don't really want you to call necessarily because I've got plenty to talk about. I just want to make sure that you know I love you and that I would love it. You know, just feel free to call and we'll enjoy the conversation. And you actually may have something profound to say. And if you don't, well, there's enough people praying for me. I might come up with something profound. It's 888-248-2046. Hopefully we're going to get to this. And I may have to put it off till tomorrow, the issue of the Moccasin Bend Clean Water Authority and the interesting innovation that's happening in the legislature, in the Senate. Here we go. And I use whatever accents I can. You know what? I don't use a Southern accent, by the way. You know why? I don't want to dishonor it. I was raised in Southern California, so I can do a Cheech Marin because I used to speak that way. I can do a West Los Angeles kind of Wilshire District because I had friends and family, you know, they talk like that. So I can do that. And because I can celebrate the cultures that I've been a part of. But when I met my wife in Mississippi, wow, by the way, just got mesmerized, man. I just could not do justice to the Southern accent. You know, maybe too far. Maybe I was just in too many other areas for too long. So every now and then I can get my wife on the radio and she can just be herself and it all comes out very nicely. So I just want to honor you folks. So every now and then I talk weird and it won't have anything to do. It won't sound like anybody you've ever met in Radio Free Saudi Daisy. As the worldwide drone program ramps up, we're doing an article here that was in the American Thinker on February 8th by Herb Titus and William Olson. You can go to WJO. That's William J. Olson. WJOPC.com. And they've got, and see what kind of crazy cases those guys are working on. They're in the national news. And you don't even realize it. You don't hear about these guys, but they're just really doing great work. On the night of February 4th, the walls of secrecy were breached when NBC News released a leaked U.S. Justice Department white paper entitled Lawfulness of a Lethal Operation Directed Against a U.S. Citizen Who is a Senior Operational Leader of Al-Qaeda or an Associated Force. So the moral imperative, the moral question, should we, if somebody in our country believes that somebody is part of Al-Qaeda, should we just therefore kill them? Well, yeah, why not? It's a good question. The very fact that we're having to ask a question and then the little cartoon question mark pops up above our heads is an indicator that all of us have been drawn down a very dangerous path. Somebody's been feeding us some Kool-Aid, you know, like a slow poisoning, a slow toxin, and we don't even realize it's happening. It's like the Russian spies used to give people alpha particles. They wouldn't know it was happening. In a few weeks, they'd all of a sudden start losing their hair and getting sick and all kinds of stuff. Eventually, it kills you. Now we can see why the Department of Justice has been so reluctant to share the basis for its legal analysis. This William Olson and Herbert Titus say it's deeply flawed, based on a perverse view of the Fifth Amendment Due Process Clause. Additionally, the white paper completely ignores the procedural protections expressly provided in the Constitution's third article, those designed to prohibit the president from serving as a prosecutor, judge, jury, and executioner. Now I'm going to give a little step back. How does this apply to you? There's a very important principle here that even touches on the Moccasin Bend Clean Water Act. You think, why do these radio guys care about it? No, we're taking something that pops up in the news, something that's relevant to our radio audience, and they may not know what's happening. They hear about everybody wants their sewage fixed. Okay, sure, it's great. It turns out, under a moral imperative, sometimes the most dangerous things occur. There's a moral imperative. There's people that hate America, hate Americans. And so they want to kill us. They want to kill somebody. So there's a moral imperative. Does that mean we should do anything that tickles our fancy? So that's the question. So what we do is we hear at this preservative talk radio, I want to introduce you to something that was why the Constitution of the United States, Constitution of Tennessee, why they exist. There's these things in the Constitution that, as the gentlemen, Mr. Titus and Olson, say here, they're designed to prohibit the president, the king, you know, the president, the presiding executive, from acting as the prosecutor. Actually, they left this word out. I will say lawmaker, prosecutor, judge, jury, and executioner. They left out the term lawmaker. What they said was keeping him from being the prosecutor, the judge, and the jury, and the executioner. But if you realize what's going on here, they're making their own laws. They're making their own rules. It's interesting. The white paper, let's see, that the president, they all came up within the president's office. They said it does not seek to delimit the federal power to kill citizens, but it sets out a category of targeted killing of American citizens off the battlefield on foreign soil, which it deems to be clearly authorized. And I say stop. The other day, I came out with a broadcast here on February 5th, 3 days before Mr. Olson and Titus wrote this article. And I said, it doesn't actually matter whether it's American or a foreigner on foreign soil. We actually have no authority. It's actually unlawful. It's actually wicked and satanic, absolutely, to go into the sovereign border of a friendly country and kill, assassinate, get even, exercise reprisal, if that country is at peace with us. If that country is at peace with us, we have an obligation before Almighty God to tell that friend, hey, nation, you've got a lawbreaker there. This person has sinned against our nation. Not been tempted to sin against our nation, folks, but has sinned against our nation. And you had better correct that person inside your borders, or you better grab him up and bring him to our borders so we can deal with him, or you are at a state of war with us. See, it's not a non-border Al-Qaeda thing. As soon as you take down borders, folks, you could do anything you want. Oh, it's outside the area of law. It's the law of nature. If under a civil society, civil law, the order where the government literally is a minister of God for our good, subject to the boundaries of law, which will glorify God and protect everybody's property and make us to be friends with those who are acting lawfully around the world, we have an obligation to stop at other people's borders and then go to their king. You know, you can't sue somebody in Virginia without serving them through the Secretary of State of Tennessee. Your Secretary of State in your country, Tennessee, has to communicate with that other country, Virginia, and you go across those jurisdictional boundaries through the proper channels. Many of you don't realize that. So you don't actually go kill somebody in a foreign country without squaring up with their king. And if the king won't hold him accountable, then you square up with the king straight up. That's a little principle of law, biblical principle, that we forget. According to the white paper, there are only three requirements to order a killing. First, an important high-level official of the U.S. government, somebody important, has determined that the targeted individual poses an imminent threat of violent attack against the United States. Of course, do you see Congress spelling out what imminent is? You see Congress spelling out what high-level official of the U.S. government is? No, you don't. Let's step back a bit. Do you see the Constitution of the United States giving Congress the ability to do that? No, it's been reserved. You don't see the Constitution of the United States giving it to the president to make a determination who is being tempted to do a wrong thing. And if we can determine, we get a sense that somebody's tempted to do the wrong thing, then we're going to kill them. The Constitution of the United States limits that power, so you and me and our children don't get killed because somebody feels like it, because somebody gets a sense, a third sense, I mean, looks at the stars. Maybe they look at the stars. Maybe they threw the bones. They rattled the bones. And something has inspired them that I'm tempted to do the wrong thing. Well, we've got to keep him from doing the wrong thing. We're either going to lock him up and put him in the hoosegow, or we're going to assassinate him because we think he's tempted to do the wrong thing. This is strange stuff. And just for a little comic relief here, reminding people who we are, I'm David Allen Carmichael, I'm going to engage very difficult issues, very important issues on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. Folks, there is absolute truth. You know how, you know, I'll give you an example. Gravity, 32 feet per second squared. You can do the math to predict it. It works. It's a law of nature. It's been designed that way. There are consequences to dropping a rock off a cliff. And you can do the math to tell you what those consequences are. So we're going to kind of reinstitute truth. It's like a crop duster. Crop duster. Comes and sprays, you know, does things to chase away the mosquitoes and stuff like that. We're going to try to spray some truth over this broadcast area, radio-free Saudi Daisy, Tennessee. And our goal is really, my goal is ultimately, I'll tell you my life goal, is introduce you to the one who says he is the truth. And he said, if you abide in my word, you're my disciple in truth, indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So isn't that really where we're going to have a free country if we're fighting for freedom? How do we fight for freedom? The weapon is truth. If we could all know and then embrace the truth, man, we're going to get along as neighbors, as Nuganites, you know, David Tullis and his Nuganomics, upholding one another. So that's where we're going. And, you know, I may have to put off David's article till tomorrow because I'm getting some very important points here as I'm scanning through this article about what those who framed our country had to say about this 200 years ago plus. Let's see what this decision about when it's okay to kill an American because you feel like it. Balancing away the constitutionally protected interest of the citizen in life, liberty, and property against the more important realities of the conflict and moral imperative, folks, and the weight of the government's interest in protecting its citizens from imminent attack. Huh? What is a 16-year-old in Yemen going to do? Is it a capital crime, even if they were going to do a cyber thing? I mean, how else could you attack the United States from Yemen? Unless you did it electronically. And there's ways to prevent that. In fact, if they do it, you can sue them. There's a remedy. So the realities of the conflict. Be careful when there's a more... But what if it saves somebody's life? It doesn't matter. You're speculating. You have no idea. Speculation's not allowed. It's not evidence. I move that we strike that from the record. That's speculation. It's falsehoods. It's a distractor. What if it saves somebody's life? It doesn't matter. If you go to the Constitution, they say, wait, you can't give cruel and unusual punishment. Even after being tried, folks. So you certainly can't do it before you get tried. David Allen Carmichael, Preservative Talk Radio. Stay tuned to this copper at 1240 a.m. for the Liberty Works Radio Network and Radio Free Saudi Daisy, Tennessee. We love you, and we'll be right back.